We have so far been launching a year of prayer. So all through this year is a year of prayer for the church. And Rachel, my wife, is organising a calendar of all different sort of prayer events. So last week you filled in a survey that said the different areas of prayer that you'd like help with, workshops, evenings of prayer, etc. And so she's putting that together at the moment. She has also filled our house with craft things, which have now made a sculpture that's in the prayer room. So if you'd like to go and use that, please do use that. It's from 7 in the morning till 9 at night. You can just come in from the outside door. You don't need to come in the main entrance or anything. It doesn't matter if the main church is locked, and do make use of that. So hopefully that will be helpful. Today, if we can have our first slide, we are beginning a new series, and it's on evangelism. And I don't know how that makes you feel, but probably, if you're anything like me, you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable. It's one of those words where, as a church, we feel like, oh, we know we should be doing evangelism, we should be sharing our faith, but we feel a little bit uncomfortable about it. And actually, if I asked a person who's not a Christian about evangelism, they'd probably say to me, it's that thing that is being done to us. We're like the kind of product of this process, and it doesn't really feel very nice, that sort of word. And if I talk to a Christian, they might well say, well, I've got this image in my head of an evangelist. They're this sort of semi-magical creature. They kind of sweep around the place, and they are very regularly approached by people who just really want to know about Jesus. And just the light comes down from heaven, and they suddenly become Christians, and they're on their knees, yes, Jesus, I love you, etc. And the evangelist moves on his kind of magical way. And I wonder, therefore, if we have an odd understanding of evangelism, partly because of that. So today, I wanted hopefully to undo some of that and to give you some really practical ideas on sharing your faith. And to do that, I've got two friends, Felix, who's not a Christian, and Bob, who is a Christian. And the reason for having them, really, is because very often, as people who are mainly Christians in church, it's very easy to see this whole thing from our end of it, to only see Bob's end. And actually, what about Felix? What about what he's thinking and feeling and his background? So let's start with Bob. So he is a Christian. He enjoys his faith. He would love Felix to become a Christian. He cares about Felix. He cares what happens to him. He thinks Felix would be better off if he did know Jesus. And he'd love Felix one day to go to heaven when he dies. All good sort of motivations. So what might be stopping Bob from sharing his faith? Well, here are a few things. He's not sure what to say. Many of us feel like that. What is it that we would say? He's not sure what Felix thinks about him. He's worried that if he starts talking about faith, Felix would think he's weird. Or maybe a little bit preachy, and therefore he would just want to kind of back up a little bit from him. He doesn't know if Felix knows that he's a Christian or not, and he might think faith's a private thing. The idea that we don't have all the answers is something that can make us quite worried and make us think, well, actually, I'll just leave it to other people, people who know their stuff better than I do. So then what about Felix? Now, last year, I undertook a project where I surveyed 100 men who'd come to faith. And I asked them about how they journeyed to faith, what it was like before they were Christians, how it was they came to be Christians, etc. And then I talked to 40 guys who were not Christians and, you know, asked them questions about faith and life and all sorts. And these are the things that they said held them back. They said, well, we're not sure if Christians want to talk about their faith or not. Is it comfortable? Can I ask them? It seems a private sort of thing. They weren't sure what to ask. How do you start to find out about faith if you're not really sure what it's all about? They were worried that they might look silly, that people might think, well, do you not even know that? I'm really surprised you don't know that. And so that idea of kind of wanting to self-protect by not sharing what you don't know was a big thing for them. Some of them were worried that Christians maybe wanted to view them as a project, somebody to convert. And that kind of, nobody wants to be part of a project, really, do they, in that sense? They might have met Christians, some had met Christians, and said, well, the ones I've met weren't very nice, so I don't really want to find out any more. They were a bit worried what their friends and family would think of them. This was right up the top there for non-Christian men. And I suspect it would be the same for women as well. They were worried if their family knew they were finding out about faith, they'd think they were really odd. And so there's a bunch of stuff that is holding back our Felixes, as well as perhaps putting us off as Bobs. But the thing perhaps I haven't told you is how they relate to each other. Are they friends? Are they good friends? Whereabouts are they in this sort of process? And so our next slide will hopefully help us with that. If you didn't become a Christian as a child, the person most likely to help you come to faith is a close friend. Your colleagues, your workmates, your people you pass every now and then, they're largely irrelevant. They might have a small part to play, but the people who really make a difference are your close friends. And so let's ask ourselves the hard question, do we have friends who are not Christians who are our close friends? It's a difficult sort of thing to think about. And this diagram helped me a bit. So if you imagine the outside bit, our kind of colleagues, acquaintances, people you don't know that well, right down to in the middle, the people who are our closest friends. How do I know if someone is a close friend? Well, I share with them the good things and the bad things in my life. I phone them up if there's a problem. I have them round my house, and I've been round their house. I know some things about them that other people don't know, because we've shared deeply with each other. And friends, this is one of the biggest obstacles to evangelism. We just need to know people better. So perhaps we need to think, well, actually, am I going to take a day here and there, every week, every 2 weeks or whatever, an evening, where I'm going to deliberately start to get to know people? Because they're great people, and because ultimately I'd love to love them and value them. And at some point, if they're interested in faith, I would love to share that with them too. It's amazing if you do that, how the opportunities start to just come. So eventually I've got into a conversation. So I'm starting to perhaps think about, what am I going to say to Felix? But can I encourage us to not start by thinking, what am I going to say? But I'm going to start by thinking, what is God already doing in this person's life? Because obviously God's already at work somewhere. We know that from our Bibles, that God is at work in people's hearts already. So instead of thinking, what am I going to say, or I'm going to get panicky and a bit worried, I'm going to think, what am I going to ask that is going to help me to know what is God already doing? So here are some questions that you might ask some of your friends, and maybe as I go through them, try and picture somebody in your head and think, well, what would they say if I asked them some of these things? So, you know that I'm a Christian. Have you ever had any experiences of faith? Have you ever had an experience of God, or perhaps something supernatural? Were you brought up with some sort of faith? Have you ever been to a church? Have you got things that you'd like to ask about faith? A lot of people don't have someone they could ask. Is there anything you'd like to ask me? Perhaps, do you know any Christians? And it's amazing how often people come back with some really interesting answers, and you have a much, much better conversation. And so let's say, for example, that Felix says to me, yes, I've had some experiences of faith, as many people have. And then I might say to him, okay, so you've had an experience of faith, perhaps of God. How did you find it? What did you make of it? Did you like it? Did you not? How did you develop your ideas? What was your take on Jesus? Very, very often when I meet people who are not Christians and they've been to a church, they've entirely missed the whole point of Jesus. What they've taken away is legalism, that we think we're great and that's why we're going to heaven. And they've missed the whole point of Jesus. And when I start to ask questions about what they experienced and how it was, I find, well, there's some things they liked, but a lot they didn't know and didn't understand. So then I can help to sort of unpack some of that. Now, eventually, probably, Felix is going to ask me a question. I know some of the big ones he'll probably ask me, but because he's my friend, he wants to ask me a bit about my life. And so before I've even got to that point, I've thought about, what do I want to say? I might want to talk about church, maybe, but actually for most people, they're more interested in my experiences of God. What was it like when I prayed? When have I seen God do things in my life? And those are the things I can already think about and think, well, actually, how would I explain that to someone who wasn't a Christian? How would I get that to make sense for them? But eventually, if Felix is like any of the other people that I've already talked to about faith, they will probably ask me one of the four big questions. And what is the one that you get asked more than anything else? What's the question that people ask you? I always get asked this one. I can almost guarantee it's coming up. Suffering. Nearly always I'll get asked a question about suffering. And the temptation is for me to have gone away, which I have done, and written an answer and thought about the thing I'm going to say in response and to just wheel out my answer. But I don't do that with Felix because I need to ask something else. I need to find out, why is he asking me this question? Because the odds are he's asking me it because somebody's died in his life, because somebody's got divorced, because there's been this trauma. And therefore, I want to show him that I love him and care about his situation more than I care about this theological problem. And somewhere on the long line, he can see, well, actually, maybe God cares too. So I'm starting from a very different place. I'm asking a bit more, what's God doing? What have you understood here? One of the difficulties about evangelism is that we somehow can end up with an idea that if we start a conversation about faith, it's only a successful conversation if the person becomes a Christian at the end of it. And so most of us walk away from conversations feeling a bit of a failure, because most of the time that isn't how a conversation goes. But can I encourage us to perhaps reset some of those ideas? One of the most helpful things I read was to say evangelism, sharing your faith, is like gardening. And Jesus used a lot of gardening analogies. So we're thinking about seeds, and we're thinking about stones. So seeds, I'm starting to share a little bit with Felix about the bits of faith he's interested in. Odds are he cares about my experiences of God. Odds are he's quite interested in grace. So I'm just throwing little bits out there, not too much, but just little parts, little bits of knowledge about God and about Jesus to help him. But the second thing is rocks. A lot of people come to faith, come to an understanding of faith, or start to, with some massive misconceptions of what's going on. Here are a few that I've come across that might help us to get thinking about it. Someone said to me the other month, well, God clearly doesn't like me because he's caused suffering in my life. That's why I'm not interested, because here are the things that he sent me. He sent me this horrible thing that's happened to me. Other people will say, well, I've met a Christian and they weren't very nice. Well, I'm not going to defend that for a start, because some Christians aren't very nice. So I want to start from a different place and say, okay, well, tell me a bit about why that happened. What was that person like? And then eventually get back to, hopefully, Jesus, because he's the benchmark, really. Some people have said to me, well, I'm not a religious type. And perhaps you've heard that too, that your friends would say, well, I'm just not religious. And therefore, again, we're going to ask some questions. I always find it surreal, that idea that maybe like in a hospital, you get kind of two bays in the maternity ward. You get the religious babies and the non-religious babies, and they're kind of just going to grow from there onwards in faith. And that's clearly rubbish. People come to faith as a journey. And what I want to do is to help Felix to unpack, what does that journey look like? So perhaps he can think, maybe I'm on a journey too in some ways. There is no rush in this. If they're a good friend, I will have more conversations. I don't necessarily need to wait for opportunities and wait for them to ask. I can ask them things as well. I can start a conversation. They are my friend after all. But there is an urgency. Jesus is coming back, and it matters. It matters because their eternal life is at stake. It matters because they will have a better life when their Heavenly Father is in the picture for them. So perhaps we sow a bit, we try and help to remove some of those rocks in their understanding, and we are loving them all the while, whether they explore more or not. So what perhaps do we take away from today? Well, first of all, we might take away that our first thought is, what is God doing in this person's life? What can I ask that will help me to find out? We ask first. We invest in people. We want them to be our good friends. And perhaps that means clearing some of our diary. We invite thought, and we think about sowing and getting rid of some of the rocks and continuing to love people all the way. So let's just take a moment of quiet and prayer. Let's call to mind some of those people that God has put in our lives. Father, many of us would not call ourselves evangelists. Many of us are not comfortable with that word. But you call us to share our story and your story. Lord, would you give us insight into our friends' lives to understand what is their take on faith? What do they understand? What do they not understand? Father, give us your wisdom. And Lord, right now, as we spend a moment in quiet, would you call to mind those people that you have put in our lives, that we are going to journey with, that you'd like us to share a bit with and to find out a bit what you're doing in their lives. Father, would sharing faith not be a frightening thing, but would it be a journeying to discover what you are already doing in the lives of our friends and our family?